Guys, I have a debate challenge for all of you. So this one is like, why do you think the SQL plan hash value changes inside the Oracle database? This is your debate challenge. I want you all to research on this. Put your comments below this video and I will see you all. Okay, let's move on to the other side of the episode and let's start today's episode. So we have to start the show. All right, guys, welcome back. Arun this side and yet another new Daily DBA episode. I am excited for this episode because there is no reason, but I'm excited. All right. That being said, before I move on to the first question of the day, as I always say, guys, please send your queries to support@dbagenesis.com. And I would also want to listen from you all queries related to Oracle Cloud, AWS Cloud, because I think that will help me in future episodes so that I can start a new cloud episode for all of you, which is in pipeline, which I'll do very soon. So I need questions for cloud as well. So don't hesitate to send your questions to support@dbagenesis.com, not only about database, but also about cloud. All right. That being said, let's move on to the first question of the day. If Armin backups are residing on different disk groups, then can we restore the Armin backup? If yes, then is there any specific changes needed in restore syntax? First of all, by looking at the question, I have a doubt. Like when you say Armin backups are residing on different disk group, so what do you mean by different disk group? Like, is that the disk group where you had already taken the backup? Now there are multiple scenarios. I will consider two scenarios to answer this question. Okay. So I am assuming the backup was taken in one disk group and the data files are residing in another disk group, right? So this is the general scenario. Okay. This is the normal scenario. So when you are backing up using Armin, Armin is putting the backup into a different disk group. So I believe the question says if Armin backups are residing on different disk group, which I assume like this is our scenario. So Armin is smart enough. Armin knows like where it has kept the backup and it will pick up that backup and put it into the right location. You don't need to change the restore syntax. So I'll keep it very simple. If your data or data files reside under data disk group and you have taken backup using Armin into FRA disk group maybe, so what happens is when you try to restore from FRA, Armin knows from where the data file was backed up. So it will put it directly back into the same disk group or same location where the data file resides. That's the normal scenario. But I'm assuming another scenario as well. If Armin backups are residing on different disk group, so I assume you took a backup into FRA disk group and then you moved those backups to even another disk group. So what happens? I would love to answer, but I will not answer because I want to know your answers in the comments below as to what you have to do in order to use those backups which are moved from the original location. So you have taken Armin backups into the FRA disk group and now you have moved those backups to maybe a backup disk group, third disk group, right? So what happens in this case? I mean, that's your DBA challenge. So you tell me what has to be done to tell Armin where the backups are there, like the backups are in new location. How will you tell Armin that pick up those backups and restore into the original location? I will see you all in the comments for this question. Meanwhile, let's move on to the next question of the day. How to fix when undo tablespace gets corrupted? It's very simple. But there are a lot of steps involved. First of all, you would need to work with pfile inside the database in order to fix the corrupted undo tablespace. So let's say you have the pfile. I assume definitely you all will have. And in case if you don't have, simply create a pfile from the spfile and done, right? So that's the deal number one. So first you need to have the pfile. Now that you have the pfile, what you have to do is you have to shut down the database, open the pfile, and you have this parameter like undo management, right? So you convert this undo management parameter from auto to manual, right? That's the step two, right? So once you convert it into the manual, or you change this parameter to manual, now you can go ahead and start the database in mount restrict mode, and then you have to drop the old undo tablespace because it is already corrupted. So once you drop the old undo tablespace, the corrupted tablespace, now you are free to create a new tablespace which will act your new undo tablespace. So create this new tablespace. So once this new tablespace is created, bring down the database, open the p file again, change the undo management parameter to auto, then change the undo tablespace to the newly created tablespace, open the database normally, and once again, understand, this time you have again started with the p file. So create a new sp file from the p file, shut down the database, start it up, done. Very simple, right? So simple steps, and if anyone can help me, please put down these list of steps somewhere below this video in the comments so that it will be helpful for other DBAs. Now that being said, let's move on to the next question of the day. Is Optimizer smart enough to choose between index scan and table scan? What do you think? Optimizer is way smarter, and Optimizer knows when to go for full table scan and when to go for index scan. But there are situations when the stats inside the database are not enough to tell Optimizer as to which path to go. And sometimes Optimizer might choose to go with the wrong path. For example, you want Optimizer to go for index scan, but Optimizer is going for full table scan because there are some stale stats inside the database. Now, in these kind of situations, you as a DBA might choose to gather stats and probably allow Optimizer to choose whichever path it is choosing. But sometimes you might want to force the Optimizer to go with the other way around. Now those kind of situations, you have to use Oracle hints, and those hints will tell Optimizer as to what path it has to choose, right? That being said, yes, Optimizer is smart enough to identify whether it has to go with full table scan or whether it has to go with the index scan. Let's quickly jump on to the next question of the day. What is the difference between using table name and schema.tableName in a query? Straightforward and simple. Let's take you're logged into the database as Scott user. So you are querying like select star from EMP. Now what happens is, this is like you're only putting the table name. You did not prefix the schema name. So okay, let's get back to fundamentals. Okay, then I'll come back to this example. So what SQL fundamental says that whenever you are selecting data from a table, select star means all the records. So I'm selecting all the records from a table name. But as per the fundamental syntax of the SQL, you have to give select star from the owner of the table, the schema name dot table name. So what happens is, we omit it. We don't put the schema name just because we want to reduce our typing efforts, but that's okay. So what will happen if you do not give the schema name? So Oracle will rewrite, or Oracle will substitute your username, the user with which you are connected to the database. Now in our example, let's take you're connected with the Scott user, right? So Scott user name will be replaced in your SQL query. So select star from, if you give EMP, Oracle will assume that it is Scott.EMP, right? That's the actual syntax, correct? So what happens when you don't give a schema name? So if you don't put a schema name in a select statement before the table, Oracle will assume that it's the same schema with which you are connected to the database. So it will try to query the employee table, which is owned by the user with which you are connected to the database. Select star from EMP. In this case, Oracle will get you the data of the employee table, which is owned by the user with which you are connected to the database. Now you are connected to the database with Scott user. So you will get the data of the employee table, which is owned by the Scott user. Now what happens when you give schema name dot table name? So let's take Scott user connects to the database, but there is HR user inside the database, and HR user also has a table with the name EMP, right? So now Scott user is also having employee table EMP, and the HR user is also having an employee table that is also EMP. Now with Scott user, you want to query the employee table which is owned by some other schema. That's when you give like select star from hr.emp. This time you are connected to the database as Scott user. You also have an employee table, but you are telling Oracle, no, I don't want data from my employee table. I want data from the employee table which is owned by the HR. So once again, when you give select star from table name, Oracle will assume that it is select star from the user with which you are connected to the database. Let's take Scott. It will put Scott.table name. So, I mean, to put it more simple way, when you give select star from table, it will try to search for that table within that schema with which you are connected to the database. But let's take some other schema inside the database owns that table and you want to query that table. So then you have to give that username schema name dot table name. Ultimately, the simple solution to all this kind of confusion is whoever owns the table, use that schema name dot table name. Keep it simple. And let's move on to the next question. CDump location is growing faster and filling up entire slash data mount point. What to do? I mean, don't do anything. What will happen if you don't do? Of course, you might face challenges if the mount point is getting full. And I know the real-time environments, like you get emails from the storage team, system admin team, and they will tell you like, hey, you know what? You are filling up the space. Please reduce the space and all those stuff. I know that, but let's look at what happens in CDump location. So CDump location is the location where Oracle will put OS related errors, trace files, right? So why you are having, or why Oracle is generating so many CDump files or trace files into the CDump location? So what you can do is look at the Oracle database alert log, and whenever there is a dump file that is generated under any of the dump file locations, Oracle will have a link into the alert log file. So identify why Oracle is complaining, like what's going on, right? So look into the alert log, open one of the trace files. And by the way, like I should ask you this question, when this CDump location is getting full, what are you doing? Why are you not opening the trace files and looking into those trace files as to what exactly is going inside the database? It's your responsibility, right? So what you do is open the alert log file, look at the trace files, open any one of the trace files, see what's going on. I mean, is there a genuine issue inside the system? There might be sometimes. Look at the issue, solve the issue. Might be Oracle will stop generating so many CDump location trace files, and then your problem might be solved. Else, this is something that